evening and welcome everybody to episode 94 of the Rocket Punch Cast. I'm one of your hosts, Cameron, alongside my illustrious compatriots, Will and Chris. Will, guys, what's going on?
Hi.
Hey.
What's happening? What's the haps? Fine Easter, April Fool's week.
So tonight we're going to be pushing live Tank and Spank way early so we can share our love of all things that were the Blizzard April Fool's jokes over the years.
Kind of make it thematically and be weird for people to be like, what an episode? Oh, I don't understand.
On Sunday? What?
No. Something must be wrong.
Something me doing?
No, but it's definitely going to be good.
Yeah.
No, hopefully everybody who's tuning in, you guys, we've had a good Easter, at least so far. I mean, granted, half the day was spent in here.
Let's see. I played Far Cry. I had a good dinner with you guys. So, yeah, it's been a good day.
It was a good day. And the Ice Cube meme,
it was a good day.
No, but April Fool's is weird. This was, I guess, 2018's when April Fool's and Easter land on the same day. Have you guys seen any good, hopefully tasteful April Fool's jokes? Kind of scouring the interwebs? Blizzard always has good ones.
Yeah.
They always have good ones. You listen to Tank and Spank this week. You'll hear about those.
As far as others, though,
nothing that really stuck out.
No, nothing's been like, oh my God.
There was the Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, the body pillow?
The body pillow. That was pretty good. I thought that was real. That got
that's
me.
That's not like, real?
That's not real. It is not real. Come on. I, you know,
Crystal's
I'm sorry.
Order like 5 of them.
A harem of body pillows.
That's an appropriate word.
I mean, for that particular instance. If you're into, you know, body pillows of dudes, go for it.
No, but otherwise, hopefully everybody's having a good day. Hopefully, if you're listening to this via audio, Easter and April Fool's is already done. Hopefully, you guys had a great day, a great time doing that. If you're joining us on Twitch, you can let us know how your guys' Easter and April Fool's has gone so far. But let's jump right into the thick of things here, guys, with the housekeeping. If you did not know, this is the Rocket Punch Cast, where groups of friends from all around come around this table to talk about video games into microphones. You can listen to us every Tuesday on podcast services of your choice, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. Maybe one day we'll get on Spotify. We got to work that out and figure out how we're going to do that. But it would be awesome. If you want to watch us live as we record the show, you can head over to twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive every Sunday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. We'll be right there streaming the episode live for you guys. So you can come down, interact with us, have a great time. If you don't know about Rocket Punch, don't know who we are, you can always go to rocketpunchgo.com. That's going to be your one-stop shop to find all the content we do, all the podcasts, the streams, everything. It's going to be right there. If you are loving our content, you like what we're doing, you want to help out even further, you pay attention to Chris's where he's pointing there, you can go to patreon.com/rocketpunch. There you can get as little as a dollar a month. You can help support the show, keep the mics rolling, and you also get some extra exclusive stuff in the process. Speaking of that, some good notifications are, if you are listening, you are a Patreon member. I'm going to go ahead and throw these out here. This past week for March, we did do our free game giveaways for our patrons. Hopefully by the time you hear this, you've already gotten your code, but at our gold tier, the free game giveaway code for Tomb Raider for PC is going to go directly to Steven. Steven S, one of our patrons there. Don't worry, you'll get your code soon. And our free game plus, which was Tacoma, interesting game I'm curious to play and kind of check out here, is going to go to one of our other patrons, Colleen R. That's at our, I believe, our platinum tier there. You get an extra chance of another free game each month. You two are our winners for the month of March. Don't worry, we'll be getting your codes out soon. But if you don't know about our free game giveaways or our free game plus, head over to patreon.com/rocketpunch. Find out more. Find out how you can get a chance at some free cool games, because we got a ton of them. We got a lot of them.
I was literally just giving them out like candy at the Comic Con. I was just really? Yeah, anybody I was like looked in my general direction. I was like, here you go.
It's a free code. Woo! We're gonna talk about that in a second here.
I know. I'm waiting.
Also, for our Patreon members, the monthly newsletter has finally gone out for the month of April 2018. It was pretty good. Issue number one, Chris gave all the good layouts and everything, laid it out. It was really nice. You did a lot of the writing for this one as well, for this month. Next month, we'll figure out if it's going to be me or Will. Flip a coin, maybe.
I don't mind doing it. Yeah, one of you guys has to do the other.
That's what we're talking about, editorials.
Editorial spot. That one absolutely has to get done by different people.
But yeah, if you're a Patreon member at any tier, definitely check out our newsletter. It's going to give you a little bit of insight into us, insight into what we're planning and what we're doing for that month ahead, so you guys will kind of get the scoop before anybody else. You might even find a surprise.
Maybe.
If you look hard enough.
It's possible.
But that's all I'm going to say on that one. But definitely check it out. It's over on patreon.com/rocketpunch. Check out that newsletter. It's pretty awesome. If you are watching via video and you have Amazon Prime, you're an Amazon Prime member, guess what? You have Twitch Prime. We would appreciate it and love you so much if you gave us your free Twitch Prime subscription. You can go click just basically as long as everything's linked. You can go up to the top, click sub, and it'll give you that option to give away your free Twitch Prime sub. We would appreciate it if you threw it towards our channel. If you are listening via the audio, definitely, if you wouldn't mind taking a few minutes to go to your podcast service of choice, Google, iTunes especially, and rate and review us over there. We've gotten a couple of new reviews lately. That's really helped us out, but that does help our discoverability. So we definitely appreciate you guys rating and reviewing us there, letting us know how we're doing here. Will's already thrown it out there once, but Will, if you wouldn't mind throwing it in chat again. We've got a Discord channel. If you love playing games, love hanging out, talking about video games, definitely swing over to our Discord channel. Will's going to toss that link up into chat. But definitely join in. We goof off about games, throw hot memes out everywhere every once in a while. And we also, that's a good place we like to go to whenever we do our streams and we're looking for more players to play with. One of the first places we look at is our Discord chat. So definitely swing over there, join us there as we help build this community as well. And if you have any questions, if you're watching via Twitch as we record this live, you want to ask questions for the end of the show, definitely just put in the hashtag AskRocketPunch in the Twitch chat. We'll gather those up at the end of the show and we'll answer anyone's that we come across there. Upcoming events. Is this stream? Is it?
I wanted to make sure it looked okay because we've got a red square.
Okay.
Where it should be a green square. And I was like, I'm just go ahead and double check. Make sure it looks good.
The stream is showing is excellent. Are we busted?
It looks good over here.
Yeah.
Okay, good. No, that's okay. Look,
In fact, I just saw the point where you point at the square. Yeah. It's like, oh man, that square.
It looks bad. As long as the buffer. The red is a concern there, so definitely want to keep an eye on that. That's why we have that there. Guys, upcoming events, stream schedule. If you're listening via audio, you will have already missed one stream. We're doing it a little bit earlier, but we're going to have the After Dark stream of Far Cry 5 again with Will.
Yeah. Hope County still needs more hope, apparently.
Yeah, it's going to need a lot of hope from what I've heard about this game.
Yes.
More like Nope County.
Oh, God.
Nope County. Be our all night, people.
Oh, boy. I don't know if it's good or bad. He'll be streaming that on Monday, April 2nd. By popular demand, Chris will be heading up the Sea of Thieves stream again on Tuesday. So if you're listening to this as it goes live every Tuesday, come join us here at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Our landlubbers, be sure to catch us on twitch.tv/rockabunchlive.
It's going to be pretty fun. It's going to be interesting. I'll tell you. Yep. I'll watch the last
one. My parrot will be there. That's great. My hat / wig will be there. It's good times.
No, we need 100% more Cam in this one, though.
Yes. And there will be 100% more Cam in this one. I have the sea shanties. Got the lyrics. We're going to be singing them on stream. It's going to be great.
Okay, good. You got the lyrics?
Yes. It's going to be all awesome.
Right, go ahead and send us the lyrics so we can work on that while we're sailing.
Yes. We will. It's a website. It'll be easy. And then on Wednesday, we will be streaming Monster Hunter World. I'll be heading that stream up as well. I'll probably see about, because I have not gotten too far in Monster Hunter. I'll see if there are people in the community that might want to play with me. Mm. That'd be a cool community stream to join in on. They can kind of show me the ropes.
Yeah.
there.
And let's be real. If anyone's got Far Cry on the PlayStation 4 and wants to join me, it's an
hint,
option.
Hint.
Saying.
Also, upcoming events, Get Hype. Hashtag get hype for Rocket Punch Cast episode 100. We've got machinations in the work. Probably within the next week or two, we should have solid plans to go ahead and start letting people know the dates and times of everything. Mm. But definitely be on the lookout if you are in the North Alabama area. It's going to be a big event. We're really excited about it. We've got a lot of cool things planned. So definitely stay tuned for that as well.
Yep. Where are we at on that party bus?
On the party bus.
Yeah, for all the people who are flying in. Just to come out for
I reached 100. Out to Epic Games. to see if we can get like a Fortnite branded bus.
Cool, cool.
So good. That way when like the bus won't actually land, it'll fly over Huntsville.
Yeah.
And they have to parachute out in the little.
That's fine.
I'm trying. Yeah. I'm working on it. Yeah. We're going to see. Just
make sure you avoid landing in the arsenal. You may be captured at gunpoint.
Yeah. Well, that is a no-fly zone. You got to be real careful there. Yeah. Make sure you check wind currents and whatnot there. Other than that, guys, that's all the housekeeping we've got for everyone today. Let's jump straight in to our table talk. Overall conversations, we've got a few things to talk about. First and foremost, we've been talking about it all month, but finally the Huntsville Comic Con came and went here at the Low Mill Arts and Entertainment Building. I did not get a chance to go. Apparently work kicked my butt this week, but you guys did get to go. What were your guys' thoughts? Because I know we went last year for the first time. Mm-hmm. And this is our second year doing it. What were you guys' overall thoughts of the con?
Interesting. Interesting. I had a great time, you know, but it doesn't take a whole lot to impress me. There weren't as many vendors this year as there were last year, so I wish there was a few more vendors, I'll be honest. A little bit more merch to look at. I spend an awful lot of time and money on merch, so I wish there was a little bit more merch. But beyond that, Friday was dead. There wasn't a whole lot. I spent about 3 hours there on Friday and like 4 or 5 hours there on Saturday. Mm-hmm. But Friday was significantly more dead than Saturday. I know it was Good Friday as well, so that could be a purpose.
Yeah, I was going to say, we talked about it. That could have been a good reason.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Yeah, probably. I mean, it was very mellow.
Yeah. But Saturday was bumping. There was a ton of people there. A lot of really great stuff. Had some food trucks there. Had Highway Kebabbery was one of the names of the food trucks.
Oh, that's awesome.
I kind of took that away as like being an awesome name. I didn't end up eating there.
Oh,
so
like,
nah, yeah. I had eaten beforehand. Sorry, everybody. But went, you know, check that out. You know, tons of people. A lot of fun. Great cosplay.
Okay,
Excellent cosplay. Better than Pop Culture Con.
Really?
Yeah, way more of it and way, way better. I was very, very impressed by the cosplay.
I think the North Alabama Cosplayers Club has a presence there
mm-hmm.
this year. Yeah.
They were there. Mm-hmm. What was really great is, one thing I wanted to mention. So last year, I covered it under Credible Threat Gaming.
Okay.
Right? And when I did, I busted out of my shell, and I talked to a bunch of people that I wouldn't normally have talked
yay,
to. You know what I mean?
All right.
I'm normally a very introverted person. I know it sounds insane, but I swear. And
you would not know.
You would not. But I clam up around new people really bad. So I went way out of my box and started meeting people and talking to people. And it was crazy because, you know, if you've ever been to Low Mill before, it's actually, you know, series of art studios almost there mm-hmm. to begin with. They're like merchants. They make things or sell things, but it's very independent. You know what I mean? It's all very small business oriented or whatever, right? And most of those people that I happened to interact with were very unhappy about Comic-Con. They were like, it's bringing in a lot of people, which is great, but nobody's actually here to see us. They're here to see all these comic book vendors or whatever. So we were pretty unhappy overall. We would rather people be here. We'd rather have a small handful of people who are here to see us than 100 people that aren't here to see us, which I found counterintuitive personally, because I'm like, these people didn't even know you were here before. Like, it's getting eyes on your product. And even if they're not going to buy anything, now they know you're here where they may not have known you were here otherwise. I had never really even been to Low Mill before that day last year, right? So, you know, I found it odd, but whatever. I took no note of it, really. And then this year, it was kind of similar, but one place in particular I was going to shout out, right? So I mentioned it here in the show notes. It's if you look them up on Facebook, they're under @ThatSparkleStudio. So the name of the place is called Sparkle Studio, right? And what they did was really cool. So they sell, my wife, as you guys know, big into crochet and fabrics and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. they sell all kinds of different twines and stuff. Like really unique stuff.
Things you're not going to find anywhere else.
Yeah. Like not stuff that you pick up at your Hobby Lobby or something like that. Like really unique, kind of pricey, but you know, really, really out there kind of stuff. So you can make some really unique stuff with it. Of course, Trish wanted to stop by and take a look, which was cool. But what was neat was these women knew that, you know, that this was not necessarily their forte, but they wanted to appeal to all these people that were coming to the con.
Okay.
So they reached out to an independent comic book artist up in New York that does a comic strip called Heroin Chic, where it's almost like an Edna Mode of the Incredibles. These women costume design for superheroes. Mm. And I was like, that's really interesting. So what they did was they reached out to him, got all sort of approval from him, then turned their studio into Heroin Chic. So they donned the alter egos as the characters from this comic book, and they were trying to, you know, appeal to something that was completely outside of what, you know, what they normally do, and trying to like bring it down to something that did work for, you know, their little shop. I was totally impressed. I was like, that's cool. How you do it. That is so cool. So I told them I would shout out on stream and let everybody know that if you head over to at that Sparkle Studio on Facebook, they took pictures of all the cosplay, like 99% of their cosplay. They were like actively trying to pull them into the studio and take their pictures and post them on their Facebook page. So if you head there, you want to take a look at the great cosplay that I saw, you can check it all out on their Facebook
page.
That's
pretty cool. That's
really pretty cool.
We'll definitely see about getting a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
Really cool. They were super nice. I spent entirely too much time standing there talking to them. We spent a solid 45 minutes to an hour talking to them. I just found it so cool that they went, you know, it's obvious that we don't work with this, but we can make something work with this.
Figure something out, right?
I thought it was great. I was like, that's the entrepreneurial spirit that brought me to Credible Threat / Rocket Punch in the first place, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, that's really cool. I'm definitely going to shout you guys out. I'll let you know. You know, they were like, oh, cool. Gave him a business card. Gave him a free game. Because, again, get free games like candy.
We got it for days.
Oh, darn. Like, we don't have a whole extra spreadsheet of games.
Will, you were there for, like, all of, like, an hour or two, maybe?
Yeah. but... I had some weird stuff happen.
Better than last year, about the same?
I was only there on Friday. I worked almost all day Saturday. So, I mean, Friday was real mellow.
Mm.
And it was hardly any activity. I don't know if it was a good weekend for a con.
It was Good Friday, weekend before Easter. Yeah, I think that, at least from what I saw, I think it was like a month beforehand before they actually started building up a lot of hype for it, like on social and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I think it's very cool. When I went last year, I think maybe just giving it a little bit more time to build up hype, social, talk to people, and I think it'll work. And I think the other thing too, maybe choose a different weekend instead of Good Friday.
Right. I know Lucky Dice had quite the spread.
Okay.
They had a gigantic spot. You probably could have fit 10 tables in. They had X-Wing game that we've been using in our D&D campaign or whatever. They had a giant-sized version of that where they had put, like, you know how I told you guys it's like a 3-foot by 3-foot square that you're supposed to play in? Theirs was like 12 by 12.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it was this huge. They had cut this big, giant plywood board out and put all the mats down for it. They even had, like, larger X-Wings and TIE Fighters that they had, like, created stands for to make it work on this larger space.
Wow.
It was totally cool.
That's pretty
awesome. I'm telling you. Josh was there from Asylum Comics, selling his stuff with Lucky Dice, propping up his new pull boxes that they've got going on over there. So he was hyping that up to everybody who was interested. That was really cool. You guys should do that too. You know, I got mine. Where are you guys at?
You got to give me a minute. Just wait a minute.
Considering I just paid my bills, I'm going to have to wait.
Those are important, Will.
They are. Yeah, they do take precedence over comic book pull boxes. Oh, yeah.
Being able, a little bit. Being able to have a vehicle to get out here so I can be like, hey, Rocket Punch.
Hey.
There you go.
Yeah, you know.
So they had a cool spread too, which was cool.
Other than the Comic-Con, another big overall thing we talked about, we finally got a chance to play it. I played it after the stream, but this past week we did all kind of jump into Sea of Thieves. Mm. What are your guys' thoughts so far on Sea of Thieves? Now, granted, I'm very happy that we did hear some good news from Xbox on that. 2 million copies sold.
Right.
I think like over 1 million people streaming it. What's awesome is that at least the sales numbers does not include Game Pass subscribers as well, so that's direct sales. I think it was number one on the UK charts Haven't heard the NPD for it. It probably won't come out for a while, but I'm curious to see how it does on NPD for the U.S. Right. No, what'd you guys think about the game?
It's cool, but you better have a squad to play with.
Yeah, I can't see how in the world you play that single player.
Yeah, like, if I didn't have you guys to play with, I would not pick up that game.
No, no.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and furthermore, it was a little bit rocky when we started. We didn't get the quests or a map or anything we else before we left.
Went out into the world and said, let's find some treasure.
They're like, oh, it's Sandbox. They're thinking, oh, cool, so we could do whatever, whenever. So we get on a ship, and it's like, you really can't. You got to come back here and get stuff to do first and then go out and do it. Otherwise, good luck being lost. Like, we kept going to deserted islands, and I guess later on, like, if you do certain things, you'll unlock, like, skeletons that will be on those islands that will be protecting it and firing cannons and stuff at your ship. But because we didn't do it in the order that we were supposed to, you get to the island and there's literally nothing on it. There's cannons and like a fortress and all kinds of stuff that should be attacking you, but it's just an empty fortress. It doesn't do anything. We did that a lot.
Yeah,
we were a man without a compass there for a little while. We had the hardest time just trying to find our way back to the island that we started at, so we could get all the necessary things like a map before we came back.
Yeah,
that was rough. That was rough.
I definitely agree. I played after a little bit with Will. It's definitely a game. You can play single player. I don't know how you could. Like, we played. We ran into that one dude.
Yeah.
Who like rolled up on us.
I trust no one.
Will started firing and we could hear proximity chat. And he was like, no, wait a minute. Come on, man. I'm cool. They'll shoot me down. And we ended up leaving him alone. Like, I don't worry about it. This is one dude. But yeah, like, especially for, it's not in a bad way, but how tedious, like as far as like piloting the ship, like somebody has to drive, somebody has to be able to drop anchor and you have to drop sails. It very much invites and wants you to be a team.
Right.
Like, very, very much. Now, if you get a smaller ship if you're single player, but if there was also a way to kind of limit what you had to do, that would make single player a lot easier. But you're also, because of the PvP nature of the game, you can definitely run into a lot of traps if you're single player and you're out and there's like this huge crew of four rolling through. Mm. And they just decide, you know what? He might have treasure on his boat. Load the cannons.
Right.
You're kind of screwed.
Right. My thing is, you use the term huge crew of four. I don't know why they limited it to four players.
I don't know why. We can't have 6 to 12 people.
Come on, man. It's 2018. Like, that ship is huge. There would be plenty enough for everyone to do everything.
You could have 6 people just for cannons.
Easily. You could really roll up as a rocket punch crew. We could have every one of the rocket punch team up on there. You know what I mean? Everybody who's ever been in chat, all the people from our Discord, get everybody on the same ship and just be sailing around fighting IGN. Like, it would be like a legit thing. Well, I don't understand why they like four is good.
One of the things I thought about is like, instead of having a huge boat of everybody on it, if you had these smaller boats and you can make like an armada,
yeah,
and have like a lead ship and then have these other smaller boats, so you could have like, if they introduce like guilds into the world and you have this crew, is like even more worse than like a boat with four people is like five boats with four people in it. You're rolling down on folks. Oh, that would be great. I would
just an expensive hat.
Does it mean an expensive hat?
Yes.
But
at that point, we need to go to Disney World, to the Pirates of the Caribbean section, and everyone just buy a full outfit.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, no, I'd be down for that.
I'm in.
But, you know, it was interesting. But, yeah, I think definitely, number one, Microsoft may tell you, oh, this single player, you can play it. I would, if you're spending your money on it, I would not do that as a solo. If you are, if you have Game Pass, I think it's a perfect chance to test it out.
Yeah.
I mean, for you get all the other games with it. Definitely jump in, try Sea of Thieves out. You get it for free. It's part of your Game Pass. So that, again, probably one of the reasons they added it to Game Pass.
Yeah. Microsoft, you scare me so bad anymore. Your decisions are just like sinking ship decisions. You're just like, I don't know, no one's going to buy this game. Quick, put it up for free.
I mean, and 2 million copies,
people bought it. That was a very surprising number.
But the big thing
is, I wonder what the staying power is going to be.
That's going to be, because I know in a lot of reviews that have come out, that's been a big kind of point for them, is that it's really great and it's fun with other people, but like some in-game stuff, some people are saying it's not quite there yet. Now, granted, I know the team is very committed to supporting the game in the long haul. Maybe they make things clearer, do updates, whatnot, but I am curious to see what the staying power.
Game is barely done.
I'm curious to see what the staying power is and how long, like, we are going to sit there and play in the game, how long other groups of friends are going
to
play in the game.
As long as we keep bringing in 10 to 14 people watching, I guess we're going to keep it going. Keep this boat afloat.
We'll see what happens. We'll definitely see what happens here. But no, otherwise, I think if the big one is if you have three friends, definitely give it a shot. Especially if you all have Game Pass. Like, it's $10 and you get 100 games along with it. Like,
and here's the best part. Game Pass equates to PC version as well through the Microsoft
Store. That's super cool.
That was awesome. Yeah. I wouldn't have got it otherwise because I told you guys I don't have Xbox Live. So I was like, oh, well, great. I can pick up Game Pass. I can play the game, but I can't play the game still. You know what I mean? So that was a winner for me. I give you $10 for it.
Yeah, that was very, very cool. Any other thoughts on Sea of Thieves?
Not really.
Okay. Then, individual games. Chris, you're first.
I am. Well, you and I did that stream of Division.
Which was fun.
We
fixed my streaming issues.
That was probably the highlight of the
stream. That was the highlight.
Yep. Glad to have that working 100%. That's great. And then got you 15 levels, yeah. Which was nice. So before you know it, we'll be able to do endgame and stuff. We'll get Ben and Jerry in there, my favorite ice cream duo.
Yep, that's right.
We'll get them in there, and we'll be able to keep rolling. That's if we don't get Will, though. Will jumped in as well.
I did.
So we'll have you up at max level.
I finally picked it up on PC because all my friends on PS4 moved away from the game.
Yeah.
It's cheap. $15.
That and all the DLC was $11.99.
Yeah, like easy purchase.
Can't go wrong.
I was like, okay, I mean, you're twisting my arm here.
Right. And then I was playing on my Nightborne.
What level?
I'm 32 now.
32, okay.
32, right. 33. 33, I think, actually. 33. Yep. I fixed the guild and stuff. All the guild bank tabs are ready to rock and roll. Everything's good there.
Just so people know, we talk about it in Tang and Spang, but our Horde guild, Don't Tase Me Bro, is available now on Terranus server.
Mm-hmm.
The Alliance guild, for my Alliance fans out there, you're there. What did we agree? Don't Tase Me Bro. It's going to be...
You're gonna make me level an Alliance tune now just for
look,
that.
Look, you made me get another Horde tune. I think quid pro quo here is adequate.
Yeah, let's get into it.
We're just advocating enjoying the full experience of Battle for Azeroth. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
That way you can enjoy all that there is to offer.
Oh, you're gonna love it.
Don't limit yourself to one faction, Will.
Oh no, it's fine. Especially when we go into these areas where they force a PvP flag, and I just all of a sudden be like, wait, why did we leave the party? Oh God, run!
And CSOL in chat, thank you so much, CSOL, for throwing us your Twitch Prime subscription. Just wanted to toss that out there. But I'm excited for World of Warcraft. You said Ben is itching to raid.
Oh my gosh, he's itching for us to do anything with him anymore.
Yeah.
He's like, you guys need to quit playing all other games. WoW is only game.
I need to get my healing gear and I'll be ready to heal. But in the meantime,
Ben,
we're
cool,
LB.
But
apparently you're doing twos with him.
I've not.
Yeah, that's what I heard. That's what I heard.
The bird is the word, Will.
I haven't heard a damn thing about that.
But no, any other games?
That's it for me. Just WoW and Division.
Will? We played Division already, but...
Yeah, we did.
I guess we now get to talk about a little bit more Far Cry 5. You streamed it.
I did.
One of our After Dark streams. Tell us about it.
So, let me go ahead and tell you. There is one other franchise in games that I will stop everything else to play. Besides a WoW content release, and that's going to be Far Cry. It's, as far as all that goes, it's a stupid title. The stories are always kind of meh, that kind of thing. And I say stupid title as in it's not intelligent. There's no, like, deep intellectual story. No, it's all about get my gun and go.
And that accent is adequate for... The setting that we're in.
It takes place out in the mountains in Montana.
Oh, yeah.
So, we meet Herc Sr.
Hmm.
Okay. He's in the game. Herc's mama is in the game.
Oh, okay.
They're both eloquent in their use of profanity.
Oh, I've heard clips of this game, and you make sure that mature flag is flagged on if you're streaming it on Twitch. A cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger. Is a thing. You can get a bear that has diabetes, and he will attack things for you. He's a grizzly bear.
He kills things. But that's not your favorite animal, though.
No. Peaches.
Peaches. Who is Peaches?
Peaches is a mountain lion that happens to be a stealth ninja assassin animal. All about it. Yeah. Right now, the way I'm rolling the game is I have Peaches and I have Jess Black. They're both ninja assassin people. I'm rolling around with a suppressed pistol, a bow and arrow, and throwing knives. And I'm wrecking shop. There's only one time where I haven't wrecked shop, and that was when they forced me into this engagement where I had helicopters, boats, and trucks all coming at me at the same time.
Somebody was going to say it.
Let's just go ahead and say they made me have to put my bow down and pick up a rocket launcher. And then afterwards, I decimated.
I watched some of your gameplay in the hotel, and you're on the turrets, and there's this helicopter. There's like four boats coming, and you got people in pickup trucks coming through the front. I'm like, what 50 is
cows mounted on the back?
What is happening? There's no way this is realistically Montana, but it's Far Cry.
I don't know. Montana's pretty heavily armed per capita. So I'm just gonna say that they got some guns.
Whatever. But I'm excited to watch a little more. As I told, I might actually be joining Will on stream. So if you're watching via Twitch, you might be able to kind of join us Monday night. So Monday, April 2nd, evening time frame, we'll jump in some Far Cry. But might have to show me some rooms.
Yeah, all I got to say is I hope that you are all about just sneaking through some trees and then dropping an arrow right in someone's eye.
See, if you're the sneaky person, I feel like I would have to be like the Rambo style. Like, I'd be on the pickup truck with the 50 cal with my bandana going, and killing everybody. You'd come behind them and go.
It's okay. I just want you to know that I am rolling around in an American flag tank top in the game for you, just for you.
Can't roll my eyes hard enough.
American flag tank top.
Cannot roll my eyes hard enough at that. That's not a surprise there. So, any other games?
Not really.
No.
I'm
excited about Far Cry 5. You're pumped about it. So
yeah, no, I'm gonna be playing it again and again and again.
I feel like I don't know. The last couple of nights, I feel like I've been in somewhat of a slump playing games. Just in the sense that you guys ever have that moment where a game, like, nothing's really grabbing you. It doesn't have to be super hard, but nothing's really like pulling you. Like, ooh, come play me. You're just kind of like, I don't know what I want to play. And I felt like that this week. So I ended up, I was going through Game Pass. I dug through and I found Darksiders 2. The Definitive Edition was on there. And I'd always committed to myself to like, man, I want to play Darksiders 2. And so...
Did you beat the first one?
I beat the first one. Okay. I did beat the first one. I'm a big fan of the Darksiders franchise. Quick plug, not sponsoring us in any way, but the Gamementary series... Mm-hmm. They just released their Darksiders documentary, basically the creation of Darksiders. But I've watched the first 30 minutes of like an hour and 40 minutes. I was kind of how that started was really interesting and really, really cool. Kind of how they built Darksiders.
YouTube?
YouTube, yeah. I'll show it to you afterwards. I'll put it in the show notes there. But it's basically like, quick story on that, they were like at E3 one year and they were trying to pitch the game. They were literally like went through whole day, all meetings, had one last meeting with THQ. Didn't want to go to the meeting. The CEO who was there for the meeting was very much like, I do not want to be here. And they were actually, they talk about how the entire show, they were lugging around like a PC computer and a monitor and keyboard and mouse as they're to have like, we have a playable demo of the game. Or just like something playable for the mechanics and whatnot. And they were carrying it around with them on the show floor just to get people interested. And they basically talked about how like the guy didn't even care about it. He was ready to get out of there because it was his last meeting too.
Until
he started playing it. And he started playing the game and he was like, he left and would bring other people in to like, come check this out. And that's how
awesome. A couple
months later. It's really cool. Go check it out. But it was really cool. I'm a big fan of Darksiders. Darksiders 2 was interesting. I like... it's really cool, like the armor sets and kind of how for Death you get to change his armor out. Because I've got this badass pauldron and these gloves that I finally got enough levels to do. But it's very, like, if you've never played Darksiders, if you like Zelda and you like the apocalypse.
Everybody likes the apocalypse. Come on. It's a no-brainer.
If you're also a big fan of, like, comic booky style art, Darksiders is a place to go. It plays very much like a Zelda, like an old school, I have to say that now, like Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask style game. So it's really, really cool. It's not scratching an itch, but it's getting me along. Maybe if I jump into Far Cry for the first time, that might help out. I definitely want to jump in back into Monster Hunter World, which is why I'm playing it this Wednesday. I'm hoping to kind of get my feet wet back in that again. So we'll see. We'll see. Now that we're, what, like 40 minutes into the episode here.
Hey, we had a lot to talk about.
We did have a lot to talk about, you know, here.
I didn't want to shortchange my my studio chicks.
No. We don't want to shortchange them. That was a great story. Guys, let's...
anybody, man. What are you talking about?
Let's jump into our topics of the show. We got two of them tonight. First one. As we're streaming this, it's April Fool's Day, of course. But number one, it's also Easter. And in video gaming, what's kind of the coolest thing that kind of almost bridges those, brings those things together?
PUBG?
Get out. No, Easter eggs. Easter eggs. We know them in the movies and whatnot, but they also have them in video games. And so I figured since it's Easter and it's April Fool's Day, why don't we talk about, you know, the first softball one. We got the heavier one coming soon. Talk about our favorite Easter eggs in video games. Kind of cool little things that we've seen or experienced or heard about that we thought were really, really, really cool. Will, you're first on the list, so guess what? You get to go first. What are some of your favorite memories and cool Easter eggs that you've seen in games?
So this is not a memory because I don't remember this, but I was looking stuff up and this one popped up. So I didn't know that at the end of Halo CE, Combat Evolved, if you beat the game on Legendary, because I didn't own an Xbox at the time, it was my cousin, so we just mainly did Warthog jousting and whatnot, that at the end of the game, you'll see a little bit of a cut, and it's Sergeant Johnson fighting an elite. And they realize that Autumn's going to blow, and Johnson opens his arm, and the elite comes in and they hug. And then the elite proceeds to grope his butt.
This is actually in the game?
Yes.
Oh my god. I've never seen this.
Yeah, well, maybe we need to go back and beat Halo CE and on Legendary and just explore this. I have the YouTube video. I'm going to go ahead and post it in chat. But yeah, I saw it and I about died laughing.
It's uncomfortable.
Oh. Maybe for you. I thought it was hilarious.
I saw that, but it was cool. I didn't know that was actually a real thing in there at all, so that's pretty awesome. Actually, the softball. Chris, you're up next.
So mine, again, was not one that I necessarily experienced personally.
It's hot in here, so I'm going to get up and turn the fan on.
It's warm.
Go ahead.
It's warm. So in Batman Arkham Asylum, there's an Easter egg in the office of the... What's the guy's name? The head.
The commissioner?
Commissioner Gordon?
I don't think he's in that one.
I don't know then.
Yeah, it's whoever runs Arkham Asylum.
Oh, well, it's not Hugo Strange.
Not at the time it wasn't, but I don't need necessarily the name. I was just looking for the title. Whoever runs the asylum or whatever.
Right.
Anyway, in his office, there was an Easter egg behind a wall that you could not see with your, like, bat vision, you know, goggle tech, whatever that he's got going on.
Yeah.
So eventually the Rocksteady Studios had to actually come out and show people that this was a thing because no one had actually found it, which I thought that was my number one really cool part about it was that it didn't just get found. It was so well hidden that people didn't even know it was there. But it was a tease for Arkham City. So there's a tease for Arkham City in Arkham Asylum, showing off that, you know, the plans for extending the asylum, you know, citywide or whatever, like the storyline of Arkham City. I thought that was really cool. I thought it was cool that it was that well hidden, you know, that things can be that well hidden here in 2018. I think that's neat.
That's pretty cool.
I thought it was
pretty
cool.
Awesome.
Exciting.
See us all in chat. I don't I don't know who Hunter James is, and I don't know. He's the analyst guy at Red Storm. I don't know. Do you guys know? Complete sidebar.
Red Storm.
Was going to look up that up for us while I talk here. My Easter egg, my first one is Uncharted 3. The first scene when you're in the bar fight, you're Nate and Sully, you're in the, they're fighting the guys in the bar. If you, you look around, in the back of the bar, there's a newspaper, and it talks about this outbreak that's happening, you know, deadly outbreak in the city or whatnot. And I guess people never realized it at the time, but the that was actually a cool Easter egg for The Last of Us, which was going to be their next game coming out. And nobody realized that for a good couple of months. One of my favorite games, personally, but it was really cool to kind of see that they had been planning, because I think that was around the time that Naughty Dog basically split into two teams, and one team was working on Uncharted 3, and then they had the other team secretly working on The Last of Us, and that was a cool little Easter egg I remember. Is basically, it talks about, like, deadly outbreak in somewhere, and it's talking about the Albert Hugh fight and The Last of Us, so that was really cool, really cool.
Nice. So, Red Storm, they have, they're obviously a game development company, but they've actually contributed to games like Ghost Recon, Rainbow Six, Far Cry, The Division, and Rocksmith, as well as other Ubisoft brands.
Oh, man, why don't we get... reach out to him. He'll be awesome.
Yeah.
That was true.
That's pretty dope, man.
Will, the baton's back in your hand.
Armagerd! Alright, so those of you who are Final Fantasy VII fans, obviously you know about Cloud and Aerith and how they know each other.
Womp, womp, womp.
Well, don't worry. Aerith lives on. In the city of Dalaran in World of Warcraft.
The reincarnation, maybe?
Yeah.
I remember this Easter egg. This is like one of the first things I remember seeing in WoW when you went to Dalaran for the first time.
Yeah, well, when, after they moved Dalaran, they brought them along. And the cool thing is, like, the first time I made it into Dalaran post-move, I took a screen cap and sent it at you. I'm like, hey, dude!
I do remember that.
Well, yes. Cloud from Final Fantasy VII and Aerith, they're both there and they have a cart and they sell flowers.
That's cool. Tier for all the Final Fantasy VII fans out there.
So just go ahead, wander through Dalaran, come upon them, and maybe buy a flower, support them.
And as if you don't know, World of Warcraft is riddled.
Yeah, it's
with Easter eggs.
With Easter eggs, various different things. So if you love Easter eggs and you're a big, definitely, you know, go just Google like World of Warcraft Easter eggs. You'll sit there for days going through everything they've added in there with each patch and expansion. So, Chris?
Heyo. So for those of you, I'm sure everyone on the internet knows that Yoshi is in Mario 64. He's up on top of Princess Peach's castle. He's like behind and then like the back portion of the castle or whatever. You can reach him later on at the end of the game when you get your hat with the wings and you go up and you fly on top of the castle and you can get to him there, which I thought was really cool. I know that as a kid when the game came out, I was disappointed that Yoshi wasn't in the game. You know what I mean? When you first start playing the game or whatever and you're like, this is cool. I do wish Yoshi was in it. You know what I mean? I spent so much time in the last two games with Yoshi. One Yoshi-centric game, you know, being Super Mario World 2. So yeah, for me, you know, I really, as soon as I started playing it, I was like, I wish Yoshi was there. Then to find out that he was there was cool. Sadly, you don't get to ride him until 15, 20 years later in, Super Mario Odyssey, when you finally get to, throw your cap and, and you're ready to rock.
And that was, that's what's really cool is that there was kind of a throwback to that in Super Mario Odyssey. Spoilers, if you have not played the game, it's your own fault. when you go to the Mushroom Kingdom, and you go up to the top of the castle, and he's sitting right there.
Right?
There's his egg, and you can throw the hat on him, and you can control Yoshi and kind of run around there. You actually have to for some of the
yes, you do
moons that are in that world. So that was really, really cool.
Very cool. Big fan.
That's awesome.
My next pick, Doom 2016. Very kind of tongue-in-cheek, cool additions in each of the levels in Doom, in the current one from 2 years ago. There are basically they've added in levels from the original Doom. So you would walk in and maybe like it would be like a secret door would pop up and you would be like the original like 16-bit white walls that you walk through and you're running through there and it's so it's you in this like new age tech with these huge white walls, and you got these enemies coming at you. It was great. It was awesome. I love the kind of throwback to those levels while playing Doom. There's one level specifically where I first found out, like, oh, this is cool, and I spent, like, way too much time in there killing enemies and just goofing around, like, oh, that's awesome. I loved it. But I enjoyed that. Doom was an excellent game. If you did not play the 2016 kind of remake, whatever, of Doom, go play it. Like, you could find it on sale now, but it's definitely worth you checking out.
Yep.
Definitely worth it.
Absolutely.
William, what you got?
So, this one's another WoW-related one, figures. The main reason why I brought this one up is because it memorializes one of the guys that I really did love to watch and listen to, like, between growing up and as I got older, Robin Williams. Mm-hmm. So the cool thing is, in World of Warcraft, there is a ever-burning lamp. And I believe it's an... I don't remember the exact one. It's Talador. Sorry, south coast of Talador.
Okay.
If you find it, rub the ever burning lamp, and a genie will come out. And it's a memorial to Robin Williams.
Very cool. Very cool stuff. As we said before, ton of Easter eggs in World of Warcraft. I mean, any zone you go to, you'd probably find some Easter eggs.
Oh, yeah. No, there's always something kind of going on. Another weird one is, like, the kids in Goldshire that are just, like possessed, and they stand in different patterns.
Oh, I didn't know about that one.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty cool. I did not know about that one at all. Okay.
That's cool.
Chris, what you got?
So, the next one I picked was mainly, again, not one that I actually saw firsthand. But I thought it was cool because it was a game that I played a lot as a kid, and that's Link to the Past. There's a secret room. It's often referred to as the Chris Houlihan room. Chris Houlihan is a kid that won some sort of contest with Nintendo way back in the day to have himself featured somewhere in a Nintendo game, but it was never told what game it would be or where it would be.
Really?
Yeah. And years later, somebody found this room or whatever. It's full of blue rupees. It's the entire ground of the room is full of blue rupees. And if you go... up to, there's an NPC character in the middle of the room or whatever, you go up to him and talk to him, he's like, hi, I'm Chris Houlihan, don't tell anybody about this.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
So, you know, just with the amount of time that I spent in Link to the Past, I was just like, yeah, that's going on my list.
One of the best games of all time. Not as great as Ocarina of Time, but still pretty good.
Yeah,
so it was really awesome.
Of course. And, you know, to some... Some people named Cameron.
Okay.
Yeah. Not going to get involved in that one.
My next Easter egg, one I hold very dear to my heart, and we're talking about, like, yeah, this is Easter egg. Metal Gear Solid. Did you guys play it kind of right around the time it came out?
Yes. No.
Okay.
I didn't have a PS1 until, like, it was the tiny one. And,
oh,
like,
wow.
Shame on you.
Well, I played Final Fantasy VII, but the greatest hits version.
Yeah, funny enough, I did. I got the greatest hits
version. Yeah, I think I did too.
So,
I'll take what I can get.
In Metal Gear Solid, if you've never played it before, there the specific encounter with Psycho Mantis, it's very infamous. I'm sure people have heard or seen about it, where he's basically, like, right before the boss fight, he tells you, you know, he's a psychic. He's like, I can read your.
Are a little bit much.
If you don't know who Psycho Mantis is, he's the very BDSM looking dude with the black leather and the gas masks on. He's floating in the air, and he's like, I can read your mind, Snake. And, you know, he does the cutesy little thing where he makes your controller rumble.
Yeah.
Because it was back, like, with the PS1, I think it's... if you got the PS1 with the DualShock controllers and the rumble pack installed, you set it on the ground. It's like, set it on the ground, and I'll make it move. It was crazy. And one of the cool things, he would start, like, he said, I'm going to read your mind, quote-unquote. the thing that wasn't... Easter egg, he would do things like, you know, you don't say very often. Either you're very confident or you're very naive and risky. You know, you're taking too many risks. But one of the coolest Easter eggs, just that whole experience was awesome, but one of the cool ones is that because this was Metal Gear Solid, it was from Konami, if you had a Konami game on your console at the time, on your memory card, he would actually read and scan for those files and, like, make comments like, so if you had Castlevania on your PS1 on this card, it'd be like, oh, I see you're a fan of Castlevania. Oh, and make little quips and stuff about that. And it was, that was really, really cool, especially like just that moment in general, because I was, Metal Gear Solid what came out in like the mid-90s, so I was in my single-digit years, maybe 10 or something like that, just to have, like, and throughout, because I've got another one too, like, Easter eggs like that, you really don't see anymore. Like, that Kojima was doing with, when he was with Konami, you really don't see stuff like that anymore. And it was really cool, especially at the time, in PS1, you know, in I guess Nintendo 64 time frame, you're seeing stuff like that where, you know, it's like reading your memory card, but it's like, oh, it's so cool and trippy. And it just, that whole fight
Doki
was awesome.
Doki Literature Club does significantly worse than that.
Oh, God. I'm gonna talk about that.
So, yes, I think you do see it plenty.
But just the whole fight in general, like, you couldn't, basically any move you shot at him, he would dodge at. And you more or less had to take your controller and move it to controller 2. So he couldn't read your mind. And he's like, I couldn't read your mind. How is this possible? Just like meta stuff like that. Metal Gear Solid had a lot of meta stuff like that where when you have to contact Meryl, use your codec to contact Meryl at one point in the game. And you don't know what it is. It's on the back of the game cartridge, like the package. On the back of it, there's an image of Snake and Meryl that shows the frequency, and that's how you get the frequency to contact her. That's like stuff like that. That's what I'm talking about. Like, Doki Doki Literature Club may be like the recent one, but we don't see that a lot.
No, I would say you don't. Yeah, but if you saw it a lot, it wouldn't be special.
That's very true. But yeah. One of my all-time favorite Easter eggs, most definitely.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Anybody have any more?
I don't. No, I'm good, man. Okay, but speaking on the one thing that you just mentioned, though, do you remember Rockstar used to make games besides just Grand Theft Auto and Westerns?
They did.
There was a
long
time, right?
Time ago.
There was a time. There was a game series they had called Midnight Club.
Oh, right? The driving game.
Right? And okay. Speaking on your memory card issue, so in Midnight Club, if you also had this other game that they had, which I think was called Smuggler's Run...
That sounds familiar. Okay.
You could, if you had Smuggler's Run and then you played Midnight Club, you would get like this Baja car from Smuggler's Run that you could play in Midnight Club.
That's pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
All right. Speaking on your whole like Konami family of games, like reading back, that was a cool little Rockstar moment.
This is my bonus one because I did not know about this. Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater, continuing the Metal Gear Solid trend. If you've never played the game, there's an infamous boss fight against this old man with a parrot called The End. And it's very akin to the Sniper Wolf fight in Metal Gear Solid. He's the sniper. You're in this jungle, and you've got to fight off against him. You cannot see shit. Sorry. Got to be said. And I did not know this at all until we were researching this. If you play him, you could fight him. Or what you could do is if you save the game there, turn off your console... Go experience life and other things for about a week or so. Is that right?
Yeah.
When you get back to the game, he will be dead. He will die of old age. And you will progress through the fight. I never knew that. I want to know.
That's my kind of boss fight right there.
And I don't know how do you figure that out?
Yeah, right?
who took the time to say... It had to have been just like a fluke thing, like, oh, I'll come back in a couple of days or so, and you come back like, wait, what? He's dead? What?
Hey, man.
Thanks, Digging Chat, for the censor there. But no, that's my bonus one. I enjoyed that one. Again, a lot of cool little Easter egg-y stuff in Metal Gear Solid throughout. Don't know about... Oh, no, actually, apparently there's one in Metal Gear Survive as well. Referencing
no one's Kojima. Playing that game, yeah. Cameron. Don't even bother.
I'm not ever gonna even look at that game with any intent.
That is a game.
I will laugh at it.
That is a game lost in time. No one will speak of that game. They're like, oh, did you guys know? They'll be
that's exactly how it's gonna go.
You
want to
know the equivalent of that game? There was a so you remember that Dragon Ball movie we don't mention? Well, yes. There was a fighting game of that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, there was. Hey.
That's gonna be the equivalent of that game.
No, this is gonna be like 20 or 30 years from now at a bar for like a trivia night.
Right.
There's going to be like a gaming category and it's going to be like, what game in the popular Metal Gear franchise was created without the help of Hideo Kojima?
And all of us will have our hands up.
Like, yes, that's the night we win. So apparently you're seeing into the future, which is great. Psycho Mantis, I'm really excited about this.
You just need to change your online handle now from C. Kearns to Psycho Mantis. Good luck. I'm sure people already use it, but I'm sure with a battle you can.
I was going
to
say, I put like a tilde or something.
Yeah. You got Gohan on World of Warcraft.
And Vegeta. And Nappa.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, man, look. All I'm saying is, if they can punch things as part of the class, they will be Saiyans.
And with that being said, let's jump into our next topic. Topic number two, final topic for the evening. Cryptocurrency versus games versus gamers. This was something you found an article on Twitter, Chris, and you thought, oh, this would be a good topic to talk about, and we agreed. So kind of lead us into this topic. Tell us a story.
So you guys know I have entirely too much time on my hands when it comes to YouTube. I follow a lot of people. I watch a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. We've seen it. We've heard it.
Yep. There was one channel that I follow called Science Studio. They posted up a YouTube video that was a counter-argument to another YouTuber called Jay's Two Cents. So both of which I follow. I like both the guys. And so I followed that rabbit hole down to find out that it was in regards to cryptocurrency mining. So the concept behind it was Jay's Two Cents had come across some picture that was posted from a cryptocurrency mining company. Like, that's what they do, is all they do is cryptocurrency mine. And they had bought 1,500 graphics cards. Not $1,500 worth of graphics cards, but 1,500 graphics cards in order to, you know, create this server mining farm that they were going to have.
Okay.
And, Jay's Two Cents had a problem with that. He said, I would never get behind something like this. It's one thing if you are a gamer who happens to have a, you know, high-end graphics card and wants to mine while, you know, your computer's in idle times, you know, when you're not home or something like that, you're not gaming, you want to go ahead and mine, that's totally cool. But if it's that's not the case, if you're buying it just for the purpose of this, that he would never be behind that many cards.
Read the tweet verbatim for you from Jay's Two Cents over on Twitter, and I quote, Zmine mining farm, 1,500 GPUs. This is the
expletive deleted.
There you go. That I will never get behind, condone, endorse, etc. Casual miners making money off their idle time isn't the problem. These guys are the problem. And it's literally like
It's like a warehouse full of like stacked GPUs.
You would think this
10 to 20 high.
You would think this would be like an Amazon warehouse where they're getting ready to ship these off. That's right. How many are in this picture.
So the guy over at Science Studio had fired back and said basically along the lines of everybody should have the ability to purchase whatever they want. If this is something that somebody wants to buy, you shouldn't be able to poop all over their ideas. You know what I mean? If that's what they're creating a business and that's how they're running their lives, you shouldn't be so judgmental and stop trying to keep all the graphics cards to yourself kind of thing. That the gamer should not feel entitled to graphics cards and that we should have to play the rules of supply and demand against other people who want the same thing, just like every other, you know, business has to do.
Yeah.
And I thought it would make for an interesting topic because I could see it from both sides. And, you know, I think it's just a neat thing to talk about.
Well, let's talk about it. Kind of the big questions asking it. This has been a growing thing. I know we've talked about it off mic about, like, the growing surge in cryptocurrency and these companies going out and buying all these graphics cards. And because of that, gamers like us, like people watching potentially can't, you know, you're trying to get the 1080 or 1070 and you can't because they're out of stock. Or if you do, it's like unreasonably expensive.
So the MSRP of a 1080 Ti is $699, which is exorbitant already. If you were to go to buy one right now, I've seen them fluctuating between 1,200 US to 2,000 US.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so, questions to ask you, like, the two big ones I've put on here, with this topic, like, what are our thoughts on how this surge in cryptocurrency is affecting the PC gaming landscape, number one? And number two, what can be done to come to a compromise in this, if at all, or if there needs to be a compromise, or it just needs to be one side or the other? And so, kind of, you brought it up, Chris. Let's start talking about it. What do you guys think? What are you guys' thoughts on this cryptocurrency kind of affecting the PC gaming market? I say PC gaming market specifically because that's what's going on right now. Who knows? It could, you know, when next version of consoles come out, maybe it could affect how consoles are being made, and maybe there's a shortage of PS5s and Xbox One Ys. I don't know what they're gonna be called. I mean, what do you guys think?
It's a tough point because I do love the idea and how we have implemented currently at least a free market. Like, we do have regulations to protect the consumers and that kind of thing. But other than that, it is entirely set up so that the market will fluctuate and adjust prices based off of what's available and how much is there. And 99% of the time it works great. The 1% of the time where I see issues is when it's something like this, where we run into where I want to buy a new GPU, but I can't because they're all sold out at Best Buy and everywhere else. And if I want to go online to buy one, places that are typical normal retailers have the prices jacked so far up that it's like, oh, okay, great. And if you go on eBay, forget about it. You're probably going to get someone's burnt out mining card that they're just trying to sell. So you're stuck in between a rock and a hard place. Because for everything else, it helps keep the cost of fuel low. You know, Chevron can't charge that much more than everybody else, or they just won't sell fuel.
Right.
So there are bonuses to the system we have, where in some markets that are not in the U.S., they're stuck with whatever they're given because it's owned and operated by the state. That being said, it's a pain in the ass when I want to buy a 1080 Ti and I can't.
Mm-hmm. Hint. Hint, big hint. Will's now, trying to upgrade his computer.
That being said, AMD is actually working on graphics cards that are designed only for mining.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and I've got an article.
Well, actually, such a thing already exists.
No, I know, but they're working on the next generation of one so they can try to ease the burden on the gaming market. Now, whether that'll happen or not, and if they can make enough, is the problem.
Well, the issue that, because the guy at Science Studio talks about that, the problem is there's no resale value on them. So a lot of these guys are getting into it. Yeah, a lot of these guys getting into it are buying it because they know if worse came to worse, they can still get out. Whereas when you're buying mining devoted cards, you can't. You're pretty much only going to sell it to other miners. So if the market drops out,
no one wants
to buy a mining card, but the graphics card market would still be there, and that's what they're using as a safety net.
That's true. That's
which screws people like me. I'm sitting on a 1060 because that's what I could afford at the time when they first dropped, and I was on a 660 before that.
Right? Ooh. Man, that's a heck of an upgrade.
Yeah. Hey, it still ran WoW at over 60 frames per second.
Oh, I'm sure, but a 1060, now you got some breathing room.
Yeah, at least until the next stuff, because I want to be able to run things, you know, like 100 plus frames per second in 1440p. Yeah. But good luck.
We've got some comments from Stig.
I'm glad
Stig Ander in chat. I'm going to read these here, see what you guys think. Stig has a nice paragraph in here. There's a gap in the market. Some genius will make an optimized miner for cheaper than a graphics card and then get rich, unless that niche supply cannot feasibly be sustained, because the increased cryptocurrency demand is also driving up costs for the miners too, making the gap in the market even worse. There it is, AMD miner cards. What do you guys think about that?
He's not wrong.
No, he's definitely not. Hopefully they take off, and hopefully it eases the burden that we currently are seeing in the gaming side. You know, I really do hope it works out, but from what I'm gathering, I'm not convinced. You know, I mean, I really think that the guy over at Science Studio had a point. I really think that, you know, people are definitely buying it with the thought that if worse comes to worse and this doesn't work out, I can basically sell this, possibly even at profit, but at minimum what I paid for it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's almost no risk to buying a six-pack of graphics cards.
You get the card, you mine it for a couple of months, you realize you're not going to use it. Okay, you bought that card at market price, so $700. Because of cryptocurrency, graphics cards are what, $1,200, $1,000? So guess what? You say, oh, you know what? $800, $900. We'll say, if it's $1,200, oh, I'll sell it to you for $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
$200 less than market price right now,
and
somebody pays more than what they probably should for a used card, and I use the word used sparingly because that's a very strange card if they've been mining it for a few months, at more, you know what, almost 50% above retail price, original retail price, and so that person who sold it, hey, they get off, hey, I make $300 profit, but that other person's like, you know, what if that card goes that burns out sooner than expected?
Oh, yeah, because they run those things nonstop. They run at 100% capacity for as long as they get run.
Yeah.
No, you know, I mean, there is no light mining. If you're getting mined, like, beaten dead every day, you know?
I have a thing to bring up, and it's one of the first things I think of when I hear about this is, like, I feel like it's two sides of the coin. It's that on the one side, I think this sucks for gamers. For, yeah, like, your general gamers that are looking, like Will, or looking to buy a card, they want to play, they want to get all the P's and the K's and all that stuff.
I need all of those.
And on their systems, so they can play the best games at the best resolutions and have a general great time. Or even just people like, I had a 660 and I'm trying to get a 1070. Like, they're in need of stuff. They're desperate. And they're trying to get an upgraded graphics card. And so it really sucks the fact that they're already, like you said, Will, they're already expensive enough, $700, $800, and now they've got to pay almost double that just to get the card, just to get one card they want. And it may not even, if you're paying that much, you're hoping it's new. Sometimes it's not new if you're buying it used off somebody else, another miner that's been pushing that card to the limit for months on end.
Yep.
And then on the, you know, in a lot of people, a lot of gamers, I know, especially in the PC gaming community, have been like, manufacturers, you've got to stop this. And that other side of the coin, that businesses, if from a business standpoint, they, and I'm sure they ask themselves the question, why are we going to stop this? We're making money. We're making profit. We can't stop making these cards. And we're trying to roll them off as fast as they can. But you also, I think some businesses are also counterbalancing that, I hope, with the fact that they know that the gamers are the large consumer base they're catering to.
Right. That's the thing.
They know that if, as with a lot of things, if you piss them off and you're like, we don't care, cryptocurrency, they're going
to
spend money.
Here's the thing. Once, sorry to cut you off, but they actually get the higher level processing from, what's the name of it? Sorry, I just tip of my tongue.
Ryzen?
No.
GPU.
Nanometer.
No. It's a whole different take on architecture. Like, taking the idea of the human brain and applying it to a chip.
Quantum.
Yeah, once they can get quantum computing going,
mm-hmm,
like, cryptocurrency's dead. Because then, at the same time, it's able to process in every direction at the same time. What used to, the theory of what taking what? Something that will take years to hundreds of years to crack is now minutes.
Right.
It's worthless. Right. And that market will fall out. And the gaming market is still going to be there.
And the big thing is that if businesses take that mentality and they're like, we don't care, we're making money, we got profit, record sale, we've never been more profitable. But if they do that, then when that cryptocurrency market falls out, they can't put their tent up on those guys. They're coming back to the gamers like, all right, gamers, we've got this new graphics card. Like, no, we remember what you did. You screwed us over.
To be honest, though, they haven't done that. They're not out there waving the flag going, hey, look at how fantastic AMD's doing or how fantastic
Nvidia's
doing.
That's true.
They're not. They're honestly coming out and going, we recognize that there's a problem. You know what I mean? EVGA will let you order direct from EVGA. And anybody ordering a single graphics card at a time gets priority shipping. You get priority bumped up to the first one on the list. You can give, you know what I mean?
Now, they're still charging way higher than they normally do.
Right, but at least you're not waiting.
It's like almost $900.
Yeah, at least you're not waiting months, I guess, at a time trying to find the cards, which are already sold out like crazy at the various stores that are out there. But there's pictures of Fry's Electronics and stuff where the graphics card aisle, there's nothing left. It's picked clean.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's been that way for months.
It's crazy.
The problem, though, is places like EVGA are still jacking the price up by $300+. So they're still gouging no matter what.
Yeah, they're gouging. There's no doubt about that. My thing is, you know, the guy over at Science Studio, I wish I remembered his name. He had said, you know, blame NVIDIA and AMD for not just making more cards. And it's like, I disagree with you there. You know what I mean? Because I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, if they invest, you know, 14 times the amount of what their normal investments are into production, just to find out that the market drops out 6 months later because the mining system is so fickle, You know what I mean? Then they're going to be on the hook for all that money that they dropped into these production facilities that cannot sustain the very dramatically lower demand there would be just on the gaming side. Not to mention, you also have to know that NVIDIA, they don't really care about mining. You know what I mean? They're out there every day reaching out to your Ubisofts and your EAs and your Activisions and stuff, getting those partnerships to show off new and unique technology like Hairworks and Groundworks and all this kind of crazy stuff. They've invested so much money into the gaming aspect of their gaming enthusiast graphics cards. They're not about to drop that and be like, now it's graphics cards for everybody, because in the end, they know that is going to be a limited market. In the same way that, you know, Bitcoin rose to $20 billion in profits only to drop $19 billion of that overnight. You know what I mean? It's not there. The sustainability is not there. They're not going to drop a bunch of money into production to find out that those people only really wanted them through the end of 2018 and then they were done with them anyway.
And another good point as well is that resources. There gets to a point where you're like, you're straining on resources. They can only make so many cards as much as they have, as many resources as they have. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely a big stifler on supply and demand. I agree with definitely what you said as well, but they're not going to exhaust their resources as well, because then if they, again, like, and kind of on the same road, if they make those, if they get, those get snatched up and then that bottom falls out and there's these used graphics cards are going to try and get these people to come back in. They've got to wrangle up these cards so they can get parts so they can create new ones so they can sell them back to gamers. And you think about the money that cost that goes into that alone. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Stig in chat says, well, if the coin market collapses, at least they'll be able to play Crysis at max settings. Cap face. You're correct about that, sir. That is a big deal. That's a very big deal.
Maybe at 1440p.
Not at 4K. 4K 16, yeah, but.
Now, let's be real. Even NASA had like system issues trying to push 1080p 60 frames back in the day with Crysis.
Right?
The good old days.
That's good stuff.
Do, kind of piggybacking on the second question here, do you guys think that there can be a compromise to all of this?
I wish I knew more about it. You know, I mean, I don't know enough technology. I wish that there was some sort of software lockout that they could put on the cards. I think that would solve 90% of the problems.
Say a firmware lock saying it won't do this kind of processing. Yep,
and until you give us a credit card number, that way, first and foremost, it eliminates all the middlemen. So it eliminates the middleman of EVGA and the middleman at Best Buy. You know what I mean? It eliminates them completely out of it. Now the money's going directly to AMD and NVIDIA right from the get-go. And then on top of that, it's the fact that, you know, they can put some sort of lockout on there to be like, this card is meant for gaming. That is what we've put all of our eggs in.
Being the devil's advocate, but then your cryptocurrency guys, they get smart and they have hackers come in and mess with the firmware and break through that.
Not if you do a make it a hardware thing and you put like a 256-bit hardware encryption on it.
Okay, I'm being devil's advocate. Got my hat on. Devil's advocate again. You put a hardware encoder on there, awesome, that's great, costs money.
It may cost money.
Manufacturers don't want to do that. Now, or the fact is, we'll do it, but guess what? Now your graphics card is an extra $200 or $300.
I don't think they would charge that much.
That's shooting at the hip at a price, but.
No, I know. I mean, if it costs an extra $50, but then the market was like, hey, it's $749 for that graphics card instead of $999 on EVGA's website right now, or $1,200 if I want to buy it from Joe Blow.
Good point.
Yeah, and also right now on eBay, you can buy 50 packs of graphics cards. It only costs you $52,000.
I think that you guys talked about it earlier, but the whole like making specific mining cards, mining GPUs, it's a good idea, but I think kind of what you were saying, Chris, it does feel kind of like a stopgap. Mm. Sure, people may pick up on it as well, but they like that comfortability of being able to say, oh, if the market falls out, I got a safety net. I can give it to the gamers and let them deal if something happens with it because I strained the GPU out 1,000% times more than what you would normally strain a GPU out at normal use.
I'd be really interested. If they could drop the price low enough, people would bite. You know what I mean? But if it's $300 versus $400, you're talking a 25% dip, people will go ahead and pay the extra 25%. I think the majority know that they can resell it to the gamers. You know what I mean? If you could drop it to 30%, you know what I mean? Get it to, like, you know, a standard graphics card's $400, but you pick this one up for, like, $125. Then I think you're going to have people bite. You know what I mean? When you get it to the point where the risk is super low, people are going to be much more interested in picking it up. Otherwise, they're just going to be... If they can weigh the costs and it makes more sense to just pick up the ones who got the safety net, that's what they're going to do.
Stig in chat, again, one of his comments, I really don't see any incentive for graphics cards to be sold for less or for them to blog out miners. Maybe he means block. Loyalty doesn't matter that much when you have few competitors. That is true.
And it doesn't matter if all your competitors are wheeling the same deal as you.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's very true. If it's $500 across the board, what's the difference other than EVGA's got the RGB colors on the wheel and NVIDIA's got the cool, sleek titanium stuff on there? It doesn't matter. Whatever your preference.
Yeah, because I'm going to be real. If at this point it was... Oh man, $1,200 you get a 1080 Ti, or $1,300 you get the Titan XP. Then of course I would just go with the Titan,
right?
Because at least at that point you're getting like a more future-proof graphics card.
Yeah.
But you know it's a shame that a card that's $699 MSRP is sitting up near the $1,200 graphics card, which is supposed to be the king of kings when it comes to
I mean that's the
GPUs.
It's the main reason I got my GTX 1080. I've got a 1080. Oh, I'm awesome. It's one of the launch NVIDIA Founders Edition. As soon as they released it, it's available. Like purchase, and it's $700. But kind of the same. It was future proof. Like I should not have to get a graphics card, in my opinion, for the next couple of years. And I've had that rig for what, a year and a half now?
Yeah,
something like that. So that was the whole reason for getting. You know, I paid half of my computer build is that graphics card. Yes.
Yeah, but you're also pushing two 27-inch monitors and running the stream and
now that we fixed the hardware issue on the stream, it runs silky smooth at 60 frames. Tune in this week for Rock Bunch Live. It's going to be awesome. But yeah, no. I mean, that's my big thing.
I don't know. I got really lucky. I got mine for like $400, $370 for my GTX 1070.
You did
get lucky. I got an amazing deal. I got it right at the right time. It was just enough after launch that they started having sales, but before the mining started like going chaotic. Yep, I couldn't have timed that a whole lot better. That worked out just fine.
Once the 2080s are up for pre-order, whenever they do eventually release those, sold.
Oh yeah,
they sell for a solid $700-$800 now. 1070s. I picked it up for $375. Like,
and that, which is, and that's still, a good card. That's still definitely a good card.
Oh man, mine's amazing. Yeah,
no, they're
1440p, 60 frames all day, every day.
Yeah. Anything else on cryptocurrency?
I'm good.
It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't really care. My personal opinion on cryptocurrency, I think it's a fad. It's like stock market.
Yeah, eventually someone will break their encryption, and then it's game over.
Yeah.
I'll stick with that good old hard-earned American dollar. Woo!
Yeah,
physical. You can touch it.
If you also want to risk your money like that, I mean, you could always just invest in the stock market for companies that actually put profits out on a regular basis.
Mm.
Or you could just take all your money out of the bank.
Stuff in the mattress.
Yeah. There you go.
Done.
Boom. Or you do the smart thing and actually go buy, you know, metals like gold and silver that always have value.
True. Well, buy a timeshare. Go do that.
Yeah. That's
a good investment.
Solid investment. Oh, yeah. No, actually, the one thing that never drops in value, go buy real estate.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Put your money in that, guys. Well, with that being said, guys.
By the way, we're not financial advisors.
Yeah, right.
We don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Rocket Punch is not held responsible for any financial decisions you may make on our behalf. With that being said, guys, this is the end of episode 94 of the Rocket Punch Cast. As always, I want to thank everybody who tuned in via Twitch and everybody who is listening via audio services. Always remember, you can go rate and review us on that audio service of choice, whether it's on iTunes or Google Play. It really helps out our discoverability, so we'd appreciate you taking a few minutes to do that. If you're watching on Twitch, definitely, number one, click that heart at the top of your screen. Follow our channel so you know when we go live each week and when we do a new Rocket Punch Cast each Sunday. If you have Amazon Prime, you've got Twitch Prime. We would appreciate it if you threw us that free Twitch Prime sub from you. Helps us out as well. If you want to get the awesome goodies and help Rocket Punch continue to grow, patreon.com/rocketpunch is where you want to go to get all cool sorts of swag and stuff and help the show out. Or you can just go to rocketpunchgo.com and just checking that site out and checking out all of our content really helps us out there as well. Am I forgetting anything else? I think that's... Dot my I's, cross my T's.
I think so.
I think we're good.
All right. And get hype. Episode 100. We'll have more details on that coming soon. Hang tight. So if you're in the North Alabama area, you want to be ready for this. It's going to be a big super bash for episode 100. But until then, guys, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time.